Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. The date is Sunday, April 30th, 2016, and the time is 11 a.m. You are listening to Q Talk Radio. Q Talk Radio is an LGBTQ radio station, and I'm your host, Xavier Mejia. Joining me this morning as my guest is the board member and board president of the Pasadena Pride Center, Erin Sienz. Pasadena Pride Center serves the greater San Gabriel Valley here in Southern California. You can also call in to speak with us live at 323-870-3984. But first, let's listen to some music. I want to play a song that was requested. This is by queer artist Irene Diaz. I love you madly.
Honeydew flowers and guitars.
Now wrote a song for you to sing how special you are.
To Q Talk Radio. I am your host, Xavier Mejia. Today is April 30th, 2016. The time is 11:06. You were just listening to Irene Diaz. Joining me this morning as my guest is the board president of the Pasadena Pride Center, Aaron Sanz. The Pasadena Pride Center serves the greater San Gabriel Valley here in Southern California. You can also call in to speak with us live at 323-870-3984. Help me welcome our first guest, Aaron Sanz. Good morning, Aaron. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm really excited this morning. We have a full room of people out there planning our programming for the next couple months, so I'm happy as can be.
You have a good group. Many people showed up, and I'm excited to connect with your audience. So let me share that the Pasadena Pride Center envisions an inclusive San Gabriel Valley free of discrimination in all forms, where social justice inspires community engagement and equity for all. Their mission is to promote safe and inclusive inclusive San Gabriel Valley for people of all sexual orientations and gender identity. They foster respect for individuals, advocacy, education, and resources that encourage cultural diversity, healthy living, and a full achievement of personal potential. I know that the Pasadena Pride Center also lists a core of values. Can you share with our listeners what those are?
So the first one is we really value diversity. The San Gabriel Valley itself is one of the most diverse areas in LA County. And so that's our first value. Our second one is empowerment. We really want to bring in a culture of leadership and responsibility to our community, because not one person can do everything. We have to get that community empowered so that they can make change in their world. And the last one is collaboration. As I mentioned before, we as the Pasadena Pride Center can't do the amount of work that needs to be done by ourselves. We need to work with other agencies that exist within the 31 cities and the 5 unincorporated, with regarding to government entities, but also other nonprofits.
What a great answer. I'll just let our listeners know that you and I met when we were youth ourselves, I think, right?
I don't use numbers.
So we've known each other for a good 20 years, I'd say. And I've seen, the project that you've been working on evolve. So it's really great to see you in your role as president of the board president for Pasadena Pride Center. Can you share with us how long the center's been around and how did the center come to be?
So the project started in 2011, around the time of those media covered LGBT suicides. And so a few of the leadership in the LGBT community in the San Gabriel Valley came together, and although it wasn't happening in our area, we didn't want it to happen. So we came together and we said, you know, we need a home, right? The LGBT community needs a home. And so that was kind of the first rendition of the Pasadena Pride Center, is locating a physical heart so that the San Gabriel Valley LGBT community can come together for support, for a linkage to services. And so that was really our first rendition. And now I can say, you know, in 2015, we have a home. We are located at the Epic Spaces building in Pasadena, right across from the Pasadena Playhouse. And now we're looking forward to what is our next mission. And our next mission is really to provide linkage to services within our community. There are things there, but they may not be linked together. So we could have a resident that lives in Arcadia that needs services, and those services are not offered in Azusa or Baldwin Park. And so we're really going to start working to organize the community to advocate. So those linkages, number one, are culturally competent to our community, but also that they're linked together. And so that way, you know, we're servicing the whole San Gabriel Valley.
So though you are called Pasadena Pride Center, you really serve past Pasadena's borders.
Definitely. And that's why I believe in January we voted to add the tagline to our organizational media that we're serving the entire San Gabriel Valley. And that goes back to our new mission statement as well.
Fantastic. SGV, how did you become involved with the center?
So I have been involved in the LGBT community of the San Gabriel Valley since about 2001. At that year, I had just moved back myself from New Mexico, and I heard about this event called Pasadena Pride. And I called the number. I was really excited to get involved, and I found that the organization had closed their doors in 1999. So I was a year and a half too late. But I was able to convince three of those people to come together, and we started San Gabriel Valley Pride, which is the LGBT Pride Festival for the area. So I've been working on that project since 2001, and then in 2011, the founding members of the Pasadena Pride Center approached me and asked if I would like to be involved in this project. And my original goal behind San Gabriel Valley Pride was to turn the festival into an LGBT organization, but I didn't know how to do that. So when someone approached me and said, "We're going to do it, do you want to help?" I was all on board.
Oh, fantastic. So one thing led to another, and there you have it. I know you were talking about this earlier in your briefing, but can you share with us with more detail what sort of programs does the center offer?
So I'll go in order that they were launched. Our very first program was the men's group, and basically the idea behind that was it's a volunteer, social, and networking group that is organized by a core group of members. And basically, it's to get the LGBT community out in public so that all our events are, you know, in the community. They're not just here at the center, bowling nights and movie nights. And so really, it started because of the app culture. A lot of guys were telling me that, you know, they could have a wonderful date with a guy, and then they'd see him on the app the next day. So it was really to, like, bring people together to create a community. So then our second program was Pride Talks, and we kind of modeled that after the TED Talks that everybody's familiar with now. And mm-hmm. basically they just tackle a different topic every month. The most recent one we did was Money Matters. And so that was done on financial literacy and FICO scores. But we've done ones on how to adopt a child, how to buy a house, And Transgender 101, and finally our most interesting one was Bisexuality, Myths and Facts.
Mm.
And then our third program that we launched was our Community Needs Assessment, which is what we just concluded this month. And then the next program after that would be the Seniors Program. And that one was basically a more of a supportive group. So it's a support group and educational group for people who are over 50 to come together, and they do they did one on Medicare and the LGBT community educational forum, and they're doing a social group called Mixed Nuts. I know, yeah. And then the women's program started in April, and that is a kind of a mere counterpart to the men's group. And they just started doing monthly dinners, and now they're starting to do more programming. And then our last group, which we just picked up in February, is called Rainbow Connections. And that's an LGBT youth support group that we took over from Neighborhood Church over here in Pasadena. And it's a great group of youth. It's for ages 12 and 18, and they do movie nights. They do they did a presentation on cutting, you know, which is, you know, when people are depressed, they, you know, cut themselves. So they were talking about supportive services for that and what the signs were to educate the youth about that. So real group of programs that are solid.
What an interesting topic. I've been working in social services myself, but, you know, cutting has come up a few times, and I know I don't want to get off topic too much, but since you brought it up, I just want to make sure our listeners know that the topic of cutting isn't necessarily attached to suicide or deviation. It really is more of a coping mechanism that oftentimes is used to actually feel something in places and times where folks feel numb and isolated and disassociate. But, you know, one of the things I really like about everything you're saying is this idea, this model where you're not waiting for people to access services here at your location, that you're really going to them, that you're really going out to the community, and that in some ways you're fostering the already what's happening out there, where there's people, connecting, and you're just joining the conversation, adding to the dialogue, perhaps adding format to a discussion. And what can you share with us some of those stories? What has been how have people received your presence in the community?
So, as I mentioned, one of our programs that we're just concluding is our Community Needs Assessment. And it was a two-part entity. The first part was an online survey that takes about 15 minutes for people to complete. But the second part was one of the things that I hold dear, and they were called listening forums. And we made a point to have them throughout the San Gabriel Valley. January, we had one in Pasadena. February, we had one in West Covina. March, we had one for Monterey Park and Montebello. And then the one that we just had in April was over in San Dimas. But the most amazing stories we gathered from that, one of them from the Pasadena group was parents of a transgender child, and their child had just come out to them like that Monday, and the forum was on Tuesday. So these parents were Googling, you know, what services they can find, and they found out about the event. So they came, and they were really happy to hear that there's a community, but number two, that there were other people going through their same situation. And so we were able to connect them to Pasadena PFLAG, and now they're getting that support from other families that are going through what they're going through.
How can folks become involved with the Pasadena Pride Center? How do people sort of connect with you?
So that's we have obviously our social media accounts, but what we're working on today is creating that funnel. So people are first made aware of our organization. Maybe they'll come to one of our events. But how to funnel them into leadership roles. So that's what we're actually creating, that plan, so that when people want to volunteer, what is the channel for them to, who's the point person? What you know, paperwork. So that it's not set up right now, but it will be set up so that people, you know, can have a channel to help make a difference in our community. And so, you know, please like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. The opportunities will be announced on those media.
So you have a Twitter account and all the social medias, right?
Yeah. So I know that the Twitter is Past Pride Center. The Instagram is the same. Facebook, we're Pasadena Pride Center. And then our website is Pride Pasadena Network.
Fantastic. Tell us a little bit about the Pasadena Pride Center's board. Who are they? What is their involvement?
So one of my most boastable ideas about the board is that they're all from or work or live in the San Gabriel Valley. And that was really important to me because I was born and raised here, and I know that we're a little different bird than LA or the metropolitan area. And so it's really important that the board members reflect that diversity. The other diversity that they reflect is that they're from all over the area. They're not all from Pasadena. They're not all from even areas that are close. You know, we have them throughout. The other key is we're all from different fields. I'm a teacher. We have a board member, Jeanette Ladea, who's a realtor in the area. And we have a board member, Patricia Gonzalez, who is the point person for transitioning therapy in the area. So it's really good that she's on board because when we have questions about that and when we get the phone calls and emails, we have a point person that we can provide that person so they have somebody to talk to in this area. Mm-hmm. So again, the board is amazing and really representative of our community.
That's great. In terms of your events, I read that you have an event called Dine Out for Pride. Can you tell me about that?
So you mentioned that we really get out in the community. So what we do with local restaurants is we partner with them on usually a slow day, and we say, look, everybody go to this restaurant between this time and this time, mention that you're there with the Pasadena Pride Center, and what the restaurant will do in return is give us a portion of the tickets for that event. And so we've done them with a lesbian-owned restaurant here in town called Brazen Crumble. It's located right there by the Pasadena Ice House on Mentor.
Oh, yeah.
But we've done them with a restaurant, I think they closed down, but, you know, a little Mexican restaurant right there on Colorado Boulevard. And then we've done them, you know, various restaurants throughout time. So if you're interested, if you know a little restaurant, please get in contact with us and we'll reach out to them.
Oh, that's great. And that's one of the great things about being in Pasadena, right? There's a plethora of places to dine out.
So many good places.
I know when folks come over and they ask, where do you want to go? Yeah, I just, sometimes it's hard. And the great thing about living here in Pasadena, because I live in Pasadena, we have a variety. We have the mom and pop shop, and then we also have the bigger restaurants and anything in between.
More importantly, we have the hole in the wall.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. can you share with me what should we look forward to? What can we expect of the Pasadena Pride Center this coming year?
Oh, my God. So that's a big question because that's actually what we're answering today. We have a group of people who care about our community, and we basically ask them a broad question. What do you want to see in this community? And so with the data coupled from the needs assessment and the passion of the volunteers that made the time and effort to come here, we're going to start creating more visibility of the LGBT community in the San Gabriel Valley, but also more community education to the general public that, you know, we are here. We do live in this community. We do work in this community. We don't all live in West Hollywood. Mm. And funny thing is that the demographics of West Hollywood are changing. we are now the new West Hollywood. And so it's going to be an interesting time. So yeah, look for big things. Can't give much detail about that, but I know you're going to see and hear a lot more.
Well, I as you talk about the comparison of West Hollywood, you and I have talked about this before. As San Gabriel Valley youth, we traveled somewhere when we were younger 20 years ago to be a part of a community, to eat with other queer folks or LGBT folks, to dance with them and even drink, you know. But today, it doesn't have to be that way. In fact, Pasadena has been named one of the safest LGBT cities in the United States. So more and more do we see LGBTQ families here and adopting children in Pasadena time and time again. So it only makes sense that there's a Pasadena Pride Center here.
Well, and you touch on an important part that it is safe in Pasadena, but as you go further east to areas like San Dimas and Claremont, those areas are a lot more conservative, and so that's a lot of work that we need to do. We need to outreach those communities, but also organize those communities to create organic LGBT, and lack of a better word, a mini center, so that they can start producing events in their areas as well. And so it's kind of shifting it to, instead of making a queer community that's safe within the community, making the community safe for everybody.
Right.
And that's one of the big things that we're trying to do.
So the idea would be to have sort of satellite centers or events.
Or just even pop-ups.
Yeah, that sounds great. You know, I know that we discussed that we're going to be talking to some of the folks. What I want to do is I want to break and play some more music while we, you know, we invite some people to join us and share with us a little bit about their stories. You are listening to Q Talk Radio. We are joined by Aaron Sun. Am I saying your last name right? I mean, I think I've said your name.
You said it at the beginning, and then it signs like street signs.
Oh, okay, signs. Okay. So if you want more information on this episode, please visit qtalkradio.com, or you can also visit Pasadena Pride, pridepasadena.org. And we are going to take a short break, but we'll be right back. And let's see, who are we going to play? Do you want to listen to Crazy Love by Irene Diaz? We were playing her earlier, and she's a queer artist, artist.
I'm always one for crazy.
Well, here you have it. Crazy Love by Irene Diaz.
Thank you.
Radio. I'm your host, Xavier Mejia. Today's date is Sunday, April 30th, 2016. The time is 11:31. I was joined by Pasadena Pride Center Board President Aaron Sanz. I know he just told me that the pronunciation of his last name, so I think it's like Street Signs of Signs. Aaron Science. There we go. For more information on this episode, please visit qtalkradio.com. And for more information on the Pasadena Pride Center, please visit, pridepasadena.org. If you like to call in, you can do so by calling 323-870-3984. You are listening to Crazy Love by Irene Diaz. Now we are joined by the Pasadena Pride Center's newest board member, Kermi. Hi, Kermi.
Hi, I'm Kermini.
Oh, Kermini.
Yes,
okay, Kermini.
And presently I'm involved with Pasadena Pride Center and on the seniors committee.
Well, welcome to the show. It's so nice to meet you. So you were sharing with me a little bit about your involvement with the Pride Center and that you actually started with the All Saints Church LGBTQIA group there.
Ministry, yes.
Wow.
Yes.
And how did you sort of dwindle this way? How did you make this collaboration?
Well, at the moment, we are trying to develop a small group in All Saints Church. But some of the members of this Pasadena Pride Center managed to attend there or intends to attend a small group, and that is meant to develop more like vigor for community involvement and also for self, development as being an LGBTQIA. So, and partly I'm really passionate with Pasadena Pride Center because the activities we have is really to really go to the mainstream of LGBTQIA community all over, from youth to seniors.
Mm-hmm.
See, and especially we are trying to highlight now how we can help the transgender community. Well,
I commend, both
initiatives.
I would say, the Pasadena Pride Center and the church's efforts.
Yes, we have a lot of things still to be done. It's not that the Prop 8 was finished and the marriage equality is done. In fact, I don't know if you have heard of Bishop Gene Robinson. who came over from New York, from Washington, D.C., and really emphasized that there are still a lot of work to do, especially the support that is, you know, needed for, especially for the trans community as that.
And I think the discussion that Erin and I were having involved also that, yes, to a degree, West Hollywood is no longer the epicenter of
mm-hmm.
the community per se.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we, there's so many of the central locations have closed in those areas. But what we see more and more in Pasadena are families, queer families, you know, and adopting.
Exactly, yes.
And so that doesn't mean that, you know, we don't need services for those individuals,
yes.
but we also need the services that have always existed. We can't just give up on, you know,
exactly.
communion and
exactly.
community.
Yes.
And,
yes. In fact, this is really very, now we have already tried, I don't know if Erin discussed with you that we managed to be able to now know the needs of each and every, you know, San Gabriel Valley is very big and huge territory at that. So what we tried to do, and this was really a very impressive initiative of Erin to do, the tapping of the needs of each and every community. So we managed to, now we're focusing on that and try to get as much people to volunteer to be able to be really productive and, you know, efficient in supporting their needs.
So what you're talking about is the needs assessment that was put out by the Pasadena Pride Center.
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen this. I actually filled out one of the online
yes.
Needs assessment.
Yes.
And
I think it's still going on anywhere.
Yeah, and I've heard of different events taking place in
yes.
Almani and different parts of the San Gabriel Valley.
Exactly.
So the efforts are really to understand the needs of the San Gabriel Valley as a whole and
yes.
understanding what the demographics are, right?
Yes, precisely. And this does not really just isolate the San Gabriel Valley, because those that are in North Hollywood or in WeHo and all those places, some of them work there, but they stay here. They live here in this area, as far as Pomona or whatever. But see, activities have to be collaborative. So I think what we're trying to focus now is that, in fact, I'm attending a Latino community, I think a needs assessment also element in somewhere in East LA
mm-hmm.
next 2 weeks from now. So what we're trying to really like mold is really a very united and solid, you know, collaborative efforts from different areas, and also to really highlight the different events that we have here in Pasadena Pride Center in order to get involved people, more people involved in.
It sounds like, you know, the more we know, the more we can see each other.
Precisely. And the emphasis of, I don't know if you have heard of it, but the disappointment that Brian Stevenson have mentioned, one thing that, you know, you need to be involved or you need to be presently there in order to be effective.
Right. I commend you and your work, the work that the Pasadena Pride Center is doing. I look forward to continuing our discussion and our involvement. And, you know, I just want to make sure that our audience knows, if they want more information on the Pasadena Pride Center, to visit pridepasadena.org. For more information on the show and past episodes, please visit qtalkradio.com and check out our blog. You can now download our app for Android and Apple from your Apple Store, from your App Store. And thank you for listening to Q Talk Radio. Thank you for being my guest.
It's our pleasure, Xavier. Thank you so much for inviting us over here.
Have a good day.
Have a great day to you. Thank you.